Hello and welcome back to the Cricket Scotland podcast. I'm Clara Splitsky and this is episode 7. Can you believe we're 7 weeks in to 2024 already? The season is so fast approaching and I, for one, cannot wait. Talking about the domestic side of things, the Scottish Cup draws have been published. So all the details and information for the Men's Scottish Cup, the Beyond Boundaries Women's T20 Scottish Cup, and the Men's Challenge Cup are all on the Cricket Scotland website. Excitingly, both our men's and women's international teams are abroad at the moment, with our men being out in the UAE playing some warm-up games on Saturday and Monday ahead of starting their Cricket World Cup League Two campaign next Friday versus Canada. We will keep you more than up-to-dated across socials and the pod, but I, for one, am very much looking forward to watching some games. And our women head out to Desert Springs on Monday for their training camp ahead of the Women's T20 World Cup Global Qualifier. However, Scotland women's captain and our guest today, Catherine Bryce, is not actually in Desert Springs because, rather excitingly, she is out in India for the second ever edition of the WPL. Catherine Bryce, welcome to the podcast. How are
Thanks
you?
very much for having me. Yes, I'm good. Busy days training today, but just got back, and I think the first game of the WPL has actually just started a
Who are
couple
you
minutes ago.
backing? Question straight off the bat.
I don't know. I reckon Mumbai Indians will be a pretty good shout again. They're always in pretty good order. Charlotte Edwards seems to know what she's doing with all these franchise competitions. So yeah, I reckon they'll be a great team again, and obviously got Nat in there, Nat Sivabrant, who's a great player, and a couple of additions. So yeah, could be exciting first game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great tournament. Looking at the talent out there is insane, and obviously you are one of them. Congratulations on getting a WPL contract. How does it feel? Are you absolutely buzzing?
Yeah, no, really excited to kind of get that contract. And I think for a while, like, obviously knew it was happening, but probably didn't really feel real until kind of got here and got involved with the team and kind of started the experience. So yeah, really exciting to kind of be out here. Been here for just over a week now. So yeah, it's been great to kind of get to know the girls a little bit more. Because yeah, probably didn't know most of them before coming in here, and obviously quite a different environment. So I was obviously a bit nervous, but yeah, really excited to have the opportunity.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we mentioned it on the podcast not months ago. It's literally only February, but it feels like it's been months. This year is going so slowly. Yeah, what was it like when you got the news? Like, who did you tell first? How did you find out?
Yeah, so I actually wasn't able to watch the auction this year because I was out that because I was in Australia, so it was in the evening, so I was out. But Sarah was kind of messaging me a fair bit, like for the start of it, but then she was like, "You've not been called yet, like I've got to go out." So she left,
Oh,
and then I was just
nightmare.
driving back. Yeah, so it was the middle of it. I was like just driving back through town, and then got. One of the other girls was just like on music on my phone, and she was like, you've got in." Like Kirsty, who's my housemate, had just messaged me saying, "You've got in," and then got a call from one of my old coaches as well to say, "Like you've got in." So I had quite a few messages after that, but yeah, just kind of from driving along in the car, really, and I getting messages, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that's so sweet. That must be such a cool memory then in your kind of cricket career, just driving along in Australia and then being like, oh, I'm going to the WPL. It's
Yeah,
pretty
no, it was
cool.
kind of crazy. Yeah, way to find out. And obviously there's been the draft in the 100 before, but I think an auction is something a bit different as well. And even having watched it last year, it's just a whole different experience.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can only imagine, but as you say, you've been out there for a week. Tell me a little bit about what it's like in India. Is this your first time in India in general, or have you trained out there a couple of times before?
Yeah, so what me and Sarah came over here really briefly for like a 4-day camp with RCB in November, but that was the first time that we've been to India. So yeah, it was like a really quick flying visit, just 4 days in training. It was pretty cool actually because it was over the World Cup final, which was here, so watched that not live at the stadium, but somewhere else around about. So yeah, no, it's the first kind of time that I've been in India for like a good period of time that you can get around and see the place.
Exciting. And yeah, when I was talking to Elsa, she was saying about how much she learned in the short space of time she was out there for a training camp. So I was wondering, like, if you kind of had the same thing, like, is it wildly different out there? I've never been. I don't know. I'm also not the world's greatest cricketer, so I couldn't really tell you like what the difference is as a player. I can theoretically, I understand the difference, but yeah, what is it actually like out there in the nets training?
Yeah, it's kind of different sort of environment. I think a lot of the pitches are fairly similar. They're not necessarily the massive like ragging turning pitches that you see kind of like back end of the test matches. So the pitches are pretty good in general, maybe get a little bit of turn and a little bit slower, but I think kind of used to that a bit being from Scotland. So just a bit the weather and playing in the heat again. But yeah, I think culturally it's like slightly different. Aspects as well, and kind of picking up. It's probably the first time played in a team where quite a few of the girls don't actually speak a lot of English, so there's been a bit of a barrier, but just figuring out different ways to communicate, which has been great, and a different sort of experience as well. And just because they're just so crazy about cricket, there's so many people that they have involved in the team that are basically just there to throw balls, and they love doing that. So they literally just like sidearm at you all day, so you can have someone in the nets for as long as you want, really.
Unreal. So is it a pretty intense training schedule?
Yeah, it's got a bit more full on the last 3 or 4 days, but the start was fairly chilled out, just kind of coming in, getting used to the conditions and having a bit of fielding. But yeah, over the last few days, like all the players have come in, so we had quite a few Australians and one South African from have come over. So they obviously just finished the test match in Australia, so they've just come in. So yeah, it's been great to have everyone together over the last couple of days, and we got into the stadium where we're playing. A couple of days ago, which was pretty cool, just to kind of get used to that environment and get see where we're going to be playing, the pitch that we're going to be playing on, and just kind of get in the changing room and everything, and yeah, just kind of get used to the atmosphere a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds insane, like you say, about the atmosphere out there and the way that people just love cricket in a different way to anywhere else in the world. How do you think that's going to compare on game days, for example, to, I don't know, like your regional matches or the 100 or something, or even playing for Scotland?
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty different from the regional matches and a lot of the hundred not maybe not so much the hundred stuff, but actually over the last few years, kind of the crowds coming in, we've been brilliant. But yeah, like you said, the fans are on a different level with the way that they support and come out and get behind their team. So I think the noise in the stadium will be, yeah, one notch higher, I think. And you always hear on the TV the Venezuelas blowing and bashing of all the whatever they've got over there. So yeah, I reckon there'll be a bit more noise around the stadium, but hopefully kind of a lot of people come in and support, which will be great.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like it's going to be insane. And as you say, the first game is on right now as we're recording, actually. So I'm sure both of us will try and watch it afterwards, just to get a little taste of what it's like out there. But speaking of, we haven't even introduced what team you're playing for. We've just been talking. So do you want to tell? I obviously know, but do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about your team? And I don't know, have you explored the area at all? I don't know anything about that part of the world, so.
Yeah, so I'm playing for the Gujarat Giants. They're the team in orange, as one of my friends messaged me earlier and said, "What team are you playing for again?" Or actually, "What color are you in?" That might be easier to remember. So yeah, in orange again, so very similar orange to the Blaze, which is cool. But we're all kind of based in Bangalore at the moment. So the first half of the competition's in Bangalore, and then the second half of the competition's in Delhi. So in two different states. So done a little bit of exploring around, kind of figuring out where some nice coffee places are and some different places for food. And I'm sure kind of as we get in that there'll be more to kind of figure out around here. So not seen a huge amount of it yet, but just starting to kind of find our way around the place. But yeah, so Gujarat Giants, we've got new player. So Phoebe Litchfield's come into the team this year. And they've got Ash Gardner, Beth Mooney, Laura Wolvart, and Leah Tahuhu, who's replaced Lauren Cheadle, who had to pull out. So yeah, pretty cool kind of overseas lineup in there as well to kind of play alongside.
Yeah, for sure. And what's it been like training with them. Obviously, in the 100, you do get kind of a mix with overseas players, I suppose, slightly more so than the regional setup. But I mean, like, they are some big Australian names in there. Is it pretty cool, like, as a fan, I suppose, to be like, oh my God, that's Ash Gardner? Or at this point, are you kind of like, well, we all play cricket, so I'm just gonna learn and see what happens?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's always that bit of, the people that you're watching on TV and have been so successful over the last few years. But yeah, pretty lucky to have played in the 100 for the last few years and played with some great names of players. So was actually played with Phoebe Litchfield last year at Fairbreak, and obviously with Laura Woolvart as well in Manchester. So kind of knew them a little bit before kind of coming into it. But yeah, they've arrived in the last couple of days. And I think any time that you get to play with people that have had that much experience, it's always kind of a great opportunity to be able to learn from them and yeah, just how they go about their game and how they think about the game and how they're thinking about how the game's evolving as well. Because obviously they're playing for some of the best teams in the world, and obviously Australia are one of the best teams in the world and are kind of leading the way in how women's cricket's going as well. So I think it's pretty cool to be able to play alongside those.
For sure. And I mean, Phoebe Litchfield has had an unbelievable year. Like, anyone who pays any sort of attention to women's cricket has got to know the name. And I suppose we'll slightly digress from the WPL, but what do you think it means for the women's game to have somebody so young like Phoebe Litchfield coming in and absolutely dominating? Like, for all those younger girls out there, what do you think it's like to have sort of a role model like that? Because I know obviously you and Sarah played on your school boys team growing up, and I can't imagine there was the same level or same visibility of these kind of players. So yeah, what do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's with someone like her of her age, obviously she's probably, I would say, once in a generation, but then Annabelle Sutherland's only a couple of years older and she's pretty amazing as well. So you get a few players every now and again that come through at that age and are absolutely incredible and just have such a steady head on themselves as well to be able to go to that level. But yeah, like you said, I think that visibility of someone who's a bit younger, I think when you're young everyone seems really old, so seeing someone who's like 20 and who's made it actually gives you the confidence like it's not that far away. Just keep working hard and keep believing, and actually it is possible to get in there, and there is a way to get into the best team in the world if you play well enough and you work hard enough. So yeah, definitely great to have so many inspirational players and it be so visible as well for the girls to be able to see, and for that to be a household name as well around the country.
There'll be so many girls at your old school who will walk past your picture on the wall when they go to games and everything. That must feel pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think things like that that you remember, like when you go back into school or you go to like a kids camp thing, and actually you don't necessarily think that what you're doing has that much of an impact, but then you see them get so excited by what you're doing and so inspired by even just playing and knowing who you are, and then going out and seeing you play on Trent Bridge in the 100 or at Old Trafford, and then they're like, actually she's the person that I met down at my cricket club and actually she's out there, and that's pretty cool. But also to see that that's inspiring for them kind of, yeah, makes it, yeah, pretty special to know that you actually are kind of that role model for girls coming through, and that it means a lot to them, even just like little things that seem like pretty easy, like giving them a smile and signing their bat and taking a selfie, actually makes their day.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, seeing the kids in the crowd at different games in the 100, you're so right. Like, the way that is such a huge monumental day for them. They're like, oh my God, I got this signature and I met this person. And you see clips online of kids in tears, like meeting their favorite sports stars. And like, players will meet so many people over their life, but you're so right in that one moment for someone could absolutely change everything. And it's amazing, and I think that's one of the best parts of sport. So you've got a big month ahead of you coming up with the WPL, so Best of luck for that, and best believe I'll keep everybody updated on the podcast with how you're going. But looking slightly further ahead, coming up this summer, you've got the Women's T20 World Cup global qualifiers. And I mentioned earlier on the podcast that all of your teammates are out at Desert Springs soon, but you're not there. I think we can forgive you for missing a training camp for being at the WPL. I mean,
Yeah, I'm sure I'll
you'll be
still get a
fine.
few words about it and get the few little side comments from a few people. But yeah, no, it's great that they're kind of out there and they've got that opportunity to get together as a team and actually play on grass, because it's so hard in Scotland. I think people other places in the world forget. They're like, "What do you do all winter?" And I'm like, "We train inside, indoors." And they're like, "Whoa, that's a long time." So yeah, it's really great to kind of have the opportunity to get out to Desert Springs as a big group. And I think they've got a couple of fixtures out there as well. So yeah, to just have that just put into practice, because they've also been working so hard indoors over the last few months. So actually be able to take that out onto the grass and see the progress that they've got, and kind of keep that motivation, I guess, as well over the next couple of months, kind of leading into the global qualifiers.
Yeah, for sure. Do you get notes on how people are gonna, like, how people train in Desert Springs so you can make your captaincy decisions or?
Yeah, probably have like conversations with the coach and yeah, a few of the other players that are there. So Sarah will be there. I'm sure she'll keep me updated to how everyone's going. But yeah, I think it's just a great opportunity for everyone to learn and figure things out. So yeah, obviously it's like a bit of pressure for a few people, kind of trying to get their way into the squad for the first time and things like that. But it's also kind of a really exciting opportunity that people have to be able to put their name forward and stand up in games out there as well and put themselves forward for that competition.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen so much talent on show at the Under-19 World Cup last year, and obviously that was a whole year ago. So, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a really exciting time, like over the next few series, few seasons, that you'll have some incredible talent to work with on the field, go especially going into these T20 World Cup qualifiers, which obviously with Scotland qualifying for the World Cup being such a huge goal, how important is that to you as a captain to have that kind of fresh talent, fresh energy, and yeah, just fresh motivation going into this competition?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think as a squad as well, having kind of people coming up from below and like really challenging you as players as well, because if you're constantly kind of just getting selected because you're still there and you're still going, then actually it doesn't you don't necessarily have the same motivation to get better and work hard. So yeah, I think a couple of the senior players have really improved over the last couple of years because there's been a bit more threat of who's coming up from below and who could take your spot. So actually I've got to keep on learning and developing my game and keep on getting better. And like you said, with the Under-19 World Cup, I think for a lot of those girls, having an experience of playing in a world tournament is kind of invaluable for Scottish cricket, because we never really had that before. It was like you've played a few games in Scotland and whatever, and now you're off to a global tournament and you've got to play these games and win these games to get to a World Cup. And it's almost like, well, how do we even get here? We've not had any series or experience to get that. So I think that, yeah, is really, really important for kind of the future of Scottish cricket.
And in that qualifier, we've obviously got 10 teams vying for only two spots to get through to the actual World Cup. So tell me a little bit how you're feeling about that.
I think year on year, the number of teams in that competition are getting stronger, and the kind of gap between the teams is getting smaller. So definitely have to be on from game one. But I think with it being expanded as well, and there's an extra couple of teams in there, it just makes the tournament really exciting. And yeah, hopefully we can get through out of the group stages and into those semi-finals, and then you never know after that.
You never know. There could always be an upset. There could always be something shocking. Cricket's
Yeah.
so fickle like that, and that's why we all love
Yeah, anything can happen. Stupid game.
it.
But everyone
Catherine
keeps
Bryce, Scotland captain, stupid game.
it. Everyone loves it, but you hate it at the same time.
Yeah, has there ever been a moment on the pitch where you've just been like, I could pack this in right now?
Probably. I don't think I've ever really been like, ugh, I'm done with this. But there's moments that you're just literally, you're like, why? Like, how has that happened? Like, how have we lost that game? Or how has every single ball that they've hit in the air landed in a gap? And you're literally just like, this is ridiculous. On a different day, it goes to hand and you get however many wickets, but on a different day, they just go over the rope or they just land over someone's head, and you just seem to have those days. So it was quite funny.
Yeah, it's always the way, isn't it? But on the flip side, do you have a standout favourite moment on the pitch or favourite day or?
There's been a few pretty good moments, I think. I think a couple of the games that we played in global qualifiers in the past. I remember the 2018 global qualifiers beating PNG in the like playoffs at the end. Like, we just missed out on the semi-final. And me and Sarah had a 100-run partnership to kind of to win the game and chase it down, which was pretty special. And then I think one game, I think last year, our club final, when I was in Australia, the club final was a pretty special moment. It was one of those games where it's just like, you've not scored enough runs, but you've got off to a good start with the ball, taking wickets, got to a place where you should definitely win the game. They were about 8 or 9 down and they still needed about 70 runs. And then they just kept chipping away and got closer and closer and eventually got the final wicket with them needing about 15 to 20 runs to win. And it was just like a massive boost. And just like, I think in those moments you're literally stood in the field like, how this game is ridiculous, how you've gone
Yeah.
the ups and downs of what could happen, and how the game goes. So yeah, that was pretty special.
Yeah, and talking about playing with Sarah, obviously you're both at the Blaze together, you've grown up playing cricket together. What is it like, A, to play with her and then also to play against her? Which is your favourite?
I definitely playing with her is one I think, well, got more used to playing with her, so it's definitely it was very strange the last couple of years when we played. I mean, we haven't really played, we've only played against each other twice. Once was in a county game quite a few years ago, and then the other time was Welsh Fire in 2022. But the other two times in the 100, the games have been rained off. So we've actually not played against each other a huge number of times. But yeah, no, it's really strange, kind of taking the field as opposition, and you don't really know what you want, because obviously what you want to be successful and you want to win and do well, but you kind of also in a way want her to do well but not too well. And yeah, mum definitely hates it. She's like, for goodness sake, can you both play for the same team in the same place at the same time, please? It's much easier. It's too stressful. But yeah, no, I think quite often, because we've done it for so long and it kind of seems so normal, playing with her, it seems like the normal thing that everyone would do. But yeah, I think there's a few moments where you actually realize how special it is to be able to play with her so consistently. Like when I gave her 100th cap, for Scotland last year, when we played Ireland, I think moments like that are really special, and realizing how many of those games that we played together and that kind of those kind of memories that we'll always have.
Yeah, I actually remember that video and I remember like getting misty-eyed and I was like, what is wrong with me? I literally sat watching this video like, oh.
That's my job,
It's very
bring tears to
sweet.
the eyes.
But growing up and playing in the garden together, is that why Sarah keeps and you bowl? Did you kind of have a day where like what have you tried doing the other one and you thought, oh, this isn't for me, we'll just stick to it? Like, was it just convenience?
Yeah, I don't really know. I think when you're younger, you always want to be a bit different as well. So, I played the violin, and then Sarah played the viola. So you got to be a little bit different. And then I don't really know about cricket because she's actually a very good bowler. She'd probably be better than most people, to be fair. But yeah, I think probably the keeper just wanting to do something a little bit different. She didn't keep a huge amount in the back garden because We just had each other, so we're just kind of like ball and bat to each other, and the little vines behind us that the plants were supposed to grow up would be the wickets and you're caught behind.
And speaking of the violin, your 100 profile, like, have you seen it on
No.
the 100 website? Your bio for Manchester Originals is something like, Catherine loves to play the violin, dance, and chant.
Dance.
Yeah, and I want to know, what's your favorite activity, playing the violin, dancing, or chanting?
I mean, I really enjoy Kaylee dancing at Kaylee, but I'm not sure I could say I was a dancer. That is for sure. And I don't know where the chantings come from.
I was in my head, like, imagining you doing all three at the same time, and I thought, you know what, that's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, don't know who wrote that, but yeah, all three, but playing the violin and dancing and whilst calling out something, I don't know.
Maybe if Manchester Originals reached the 100 final this year, we get the violin out,
Yeah,
have a
I'll
little
get the
dance and
violin.
chant.
Yeah, we could
Sarah's
all
on the
have,
viola.
definitely have a little Kaylee if we
Yeah.
make that to the final, that's for sure. Because it's actually the most fun evening, I'd say, to have. Highly
Yeah.
underrated. And none of these English people know how to Kaylee dance properly. So we're really trying to rally the troops in at the Valais. We're doing quite well. We've got Kirsty, but we actually just need to teach a few people. They're keen, but just need to get on it.
Have you got any recommendations at the moment? Anything you're watching, reading, listening to that you absolutely love and you think other people should love too?
It's kind of past it, but I forgot to watch the end of it, so went back and finished watching Firefly Lane on Netflix, which was really good. So I enjoyed that. What else? Reading a book at the moment, which is basically, it's kind of like a mystery or sort of fake, sort of real around when Agatha Christie disappeared for 11 days, which was actually real,
Oh.
actually happened. And podcasts, I haven't really listened to any podcasts recently, but always enjoy, I don't know if they still do it actually, No Such Thing as a Fish. It's kind of like intellectual, but it's kind of funny, like random facts, but smart people
They're the
finding
people who
out.
make the questions on QI, aren't they? The people who
Yes,
do that.
they're those people, so yeah, that's good fun.
What's your go-to on a flight? Do you watch what's on the plane, or do you like bring your own on your laptop or iPad or whatever?
Yeah, I normally just watch what's on the plane. So whatever
A nice lucky dip.
whatever airline's current selection of things. Yeah.
What's Some of the selections on planes are terrible though. Like, have you ever watched something on a long journey and you've gone, "Well, this was a waste of my time, but at least I'm halfway there."
Yeah, some of them are really random. And when they're like that, I tend to just like go around and I literally just scroll through like the whole list of movies and then end up pretty much watching something that I've already watched before.
It's the best way. Stay safe, you know.
Yeah.
I
Call
know I'm
me
gonna have a good time.
Man Man Man
Yeah.
too.
Would that be your best, like your favorite series, films wise?
Perfect. Mamma Mia, definitely a go-to. Yeah. Up there with the best.
What's your favorite song from Mamma Mia?
Why Did It Have to Be Me in the second one?
Good choice, yeah.
And then Dancing Queen's always a belter.
Yeah, that is fair. An absolute classic. Would that be your go-to if you're in the car on the aux? Is that what you'd put on?
Yeah, in the car, we have a lot of musicals going. So, like me and Sarah drive a fair bit from Scotland back to Nottingham. And there's definitely like a good round of different musicals that come on. Yeah.
Ooh, what's your favorite musical? What's the best musical you've seen?
One of the best musicals I've seen is Waitress. That was amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've actually not watched it, but I love the soundtrack. I know that's a bit weird.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
It
I'm gonna have
takes
to
an
add that to my
emotional
list.
and funny. Yeah.
And would you go for a musical song if you're doing karaoke?
Yeah, either a musical song or a bit of like Westlife or Robbie Williams, probably.
Ooh. Robbie Williams is a good option. Okay, what would be your go-to?
Angels is probably a good one.
Strong.
Just
Yeah.
everyone.
A
Get
crowd
the comfort
pleaser, you know?
sound.
End of the karaoke night.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up. Angels on. Time to go home.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you know the lights are about to come on.
Let's move out, people. That's a good tactic, actually. Just get angels on, get everyone
Totally. You
out.
want to go home? Yeah, play Robbie Williams and leave.
Think that's an actually spectacular place to end. Well, Catherine, that has been very fun. Thank you so much for coming on, and best of luck for the Gujarat Giants campaign and the WPL and for all your cricketing endeavours coming up. So far, I'm sure we'll keep everyone updated with what you're doing, how's it going, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sure you'll be back very soon.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much again to Catherine for coming on. I had an absolutely marvelous time, and I hope all of you did too, listening. If you want to follow Catherine and the Gujarat Giants WPL campaign, I believe it's all available to watch on Sky Sports. We've got a pretty hefty schedule of WPL matches ahead of us. And then, of course, we'll have the Men's Cricket World Cup League Two campaign kicking off on Friday. Lots of cricket to watch, which is just what we need in the run-up to our very own domestic season. And if you want to send us any stories, anything you want us to talk about, you can email us at podcast@cricketscotland.com. That is podcast, singular, not podcasts, plural. At cricketscotland.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye bye.